I just don't
know. It's 8:46 on the clock, so we will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, July 18, 2018. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation. Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann.
Change it for me.
And Bauman will be gone all day. Consent agenda. Number one is a general agenda. Number two, approve minutes of meeting held July 3rd, 2018. Number three, approve all claims through July 18, 2018 in the amount of $656,169.53, except claim number 18070118 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $900.75. And claim number 18070219 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $5,934.05 to be voted on separately below. Four, approve and place on file correspondence received. Five, approve specs and call for bids on culvert projects C-34-1124, E-17 of Hooker, C-34-1131, North 31 of Claytonia, C-34-1135, East 9 of Glenwood, C-34-1137, East 21 of Logan, C-34-1138, North 10 of Sicily, C-34-1140, North 20 of Rockford. Bids to be opened August 15, 2018 at 9:15 a.m. Number six, approve engagement letter from Schultz & Associates for audit services for the year ending June 30, 2017, and have chairman sign letter. Number seven, approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of June 2018. Number eight, approve utility permit number 1106. Diller Telephone will be installing approximately 6 miles of fiber cable in Glenwood Township. We'll be plowing cable 4 foot deep in shoulder of road and in bottom of ditch, boring 3 inches by 5 inches, 10 foot deep under intersections and culverts. Cable will be encased in 1 1/4 smooth walled pipe. Cable vaults will be placed inside of right of way. Maps attached to permit, located in sections east 1/2 section 23, west 1/2 section 24, east 1/2 section 26, west 1/2 section 25, north 1/2 section 35, north 1/2 section 34, east 1/2 section 28, north 1/4 section 36, township 1 north, range 5 east, which is Glenwood Township. Number 9, approve utility permit number 1107. Diller Telephone will be installing approximately 9 miles of fiber cable in Almond Glenwood Townships. They will be plowing cable 4 foot deep in shoulder of road and boring 3 inches by 5 inches, 10 foot deep under intersections and culverts. Cable will be encased in 1 1/4 inch smooth wall pipe. Cable vaults will be placed inside of right-of-way maps attached to permit located in the west side of section 25, southeast 1/4 section 27, township 2 north, range 5 east, Elm, and the north side of section 2, north and east side of section 3, northeast 4th section 4, north side section 11, east side section 10, north and east side section 15, township 1 north, range 5 east, Glenwood Township. Number 10, utility permit number 1108. Windstream Nebraska LLC will be boring in 3 foot below road from pedestal 64-NB for 66 feet to east right away to replace bad cable to residents at 155876 South 5th Drive, located in the northwest 1/4 of section 26, township 5 north, range 6 east, Holt Township. Entertain a motion to approve a consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann and second by Jurgens.
I have a question on number six, as far as the year ending June 30th, 2017.
Or 18.
Maybe that is supposed to be
18. Yeah, Denny might be right. That's for the that's for our fiscal year just ended, not 1 year ago.
Yeah, that's probably right. Yep, it's typo on my part. 18, sorry.
So it should be 2018.
18, yep.
So So I would move that in number six that we change the date to June 30th, 2018.
Second that amendment.
Do I need to vote on that? Because we haven't voted on the other. We had the motion on the others and haven't voted on it.
It's consent agenda, so you can go ahead and, by friendly, you already had a motion to approve it.
We've already had
friendly,
a motion.
Friendly amendment.
It's fine with me.
This one.
Everybody in agreement with that?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Another question? Or any more comments on consent agenda?
Catch your breath yet?
Barely, yeah. I needed a drink.
Right down that road then, right?
Yeah.
If not, we will. The motion was to approve consent agenda, but then we've also, as part of that, with that correction on number six, to change that date to June 30th of 2018. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 18070118 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $900.75 and claim number 18070219 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $5,934.05. This brings total of claims approved through July 18, 2018 to $663,004.33.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Jergen, second by Hill. Vote. 5 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we will move on to committee reports. Building grounds, winter lights.
Nothing unusual. Still just working on the bus stop. Getting the tanks out, they've gotten them out, and just need to do the concrete, and still working on the brickwork. Dave is taking care of business this morning, so he won't be in. But everything's going good.
Yeah, they did stop and look over there, walked inside. They do have the, I don't know what you call it, the shelving on the rails. That is all up and installed.
About ready to take care of the sheriff.
Yeah.
When the deputies get upset with him, they can move him over there and lock him in the building.
Yeah.
Right?
So we're getting closer to someday when they can start moving stuff. It's not there yet, but there's a lot of progress been done. Getting pretty close and everything. So, I was amazed by the shelving, I guess. I didn't think it would quite work like that or whatever. That would give you...
Save a lot of space.
It saves a lot of space and gives you a lot more room and everything, and they can move them to the side and walk through different ones. And that's, like I said, I asked him, I can't remember who was over there. I said, will they work as good when they're loaded or full of stuff? And he assured me they would. So
they better.
It's not, or that's the plan, he said. Yeah. So no, and they've got a lot of the brickwork done. I don't know how much longer they have with that, but that's getting close to done, too. So,
there's going to be some additional on that. There was two other awnings on the south and north side of the building that are built into the brick in a different manner. That one was a hung-on awning just with a metal frame. Those other ones were kind of the older-style square box ones that are built into it. So Dave's getting prices on those to remove those. The yellow and black ones that would have been there when Barnard had it,
The one on the north side of the building, and then there's a little cove there on the south side, kind of southwest, that has that too. I noticed they weren't down, so yeah.
He's going to get an additional bid on those.
Get those down too, then. Equalization, I think we don't have anything until this afternoon. Finance or insurance?
Yes, Myron. Large ticket items. Wolf Snowden ELT Professional Legal Services $17,167.50. Beatrice Concrete Sand and Gravel for Rock and Gravel $50,732.39. Sapp Brothers Fuel and Oil $24,725.87.
We also talked to. There was a few things as we went through tickets. One of the things was we got a rebate back for mental health treatment. So we were going to check with the sheriff, see who's tracking the hours for what's paid versus what we're using. Any employees signing on accounts? We have some tickets and stuff that came in that don't have a signature, so we don't know who signed for them. So anybody that's signing on a in-house account anywhere needs to sign their name. And then we had some credit cards again that are being used in lieu of the U.S. bank card. So more or less just kind of tracking where dollars are going out, who's spending them, spending that money. And then also for all the employees, paychecks and arrears are coming next month? No.
End of next month.
End of next month. So that'll be to where all the pay is adjusted so that it can be tracked and dealt with better.
But that's for the back pay for the... No.
That'll be for the paychecks in arrears. It will be at 2 weeks in arrears.
When we're going to move that.
That'll be the end of next month. Right now we're 1 week, so that'll put us two weeks in arrears or one pay period.
Yeah. And the employees have all been sent notification of that.
A couple notifications. The sheriffs, the FOP, that should be being paid current, and we all have a list here in front of us. What the retro and insurance payouts are going to be for corrections in the sheriff's department here. If this is right, that'll be a total of just over $79,000, and that will be the retro payments for FOP contract from last July till current, and also the retro insurance payments.
The contract actually ended in July 1st of 2017, and we finally got a new one approved, what was it, in April or something? Yeah. So there was back pay.
That's a long time.
That had to be calculated and figured and everything. So
I guess a question for Don on that is, okay, we're closed out, books are closed from last year, running on new non-budget approved time now. How does that money come out?
It's going to come out of the normal fund he's going to have to budget for, put in his budget.
It will be included in this year's budget. It will be part of this year's budget, that total pay of, I think it's $79,000. Is it? Mm-hmm. We're right at $79,000.
The plan was already to take off last year, but because it dragged out so long.
Goodness. It didn't make it.
Mm-hmm. So we wanted to.
So that will be in the part of the wage package in the budget for this year.
Julie, and I think in our office, we hope we don't have to retro a year again.
Yeah.
It was a lot to go back through.
I'm kind of waiting here a little bit. It's 8:59 on the clock. We have a timed event at 9 o'clock. We have a Veterans Honor. So. Oh. This came in yesterday then?
Dave brought that in, yes.
We have from someone here, we have a letter. It's a bid for two small awnings on the bus stop. That must be the awnings that are left then, I'm assuming.
Must be.
Yeah. It was filed on July 17th here in the clerk's office. So we had this out for bid earlier, didn't get any bids. Mm-hmm.
Is that a bid for the two awnings we just talked about, though, the north side removal?
It says right on the outside, bid for two small awnings, bus stop.
I'm guessing that's not a bid to buy those. That's a bid to take those off and rip those up.
I don't think so. I thought he told me that it was that they wanted them.
They wanted to buy them?
I had interest. They were going to send something in on what we took off, but I don't know about the site.
I think the way he told me that it was somebody that was interested in that they would.
You'd have to declare them to be surplus and go through the process.
And they does
because
have
the last one wasn't on these two, was it?
We just advertised for the awnings. We didn't specify which ones because we didn't know which ones.
Roger, can we open that and see what it's actually for?
Hey, right now, it's still sealed. Okay.
Or is that not okay?
Everybody, think about that a little bit.
I would suggest because there's nothing on your agenda. Yeah. I would suggest. You call the person and say, what is going on?
Do you know who?
I'm not sure who that is. He did talk about one of the carpet stores that was interested in wanting them for their store, the awnings. So I don't know.
You don't. But who brought this in?
Dave did.
Oh, Dave did. So we have to find out from Dave if he knows who it is or not.
Yeah. I would do that. And then if they're bidding on something, we're going to have to set it, declare it a surplus, even though technically we probably said they're all for sale. But
yeah,
it's sure the heck if you give it to this guy, somebody else will want it.
Yeah.
For $2 more.
So we'll check into that some more. Okay, we have a timed event at 9 o'clock. It's 9:01 on the clock. We have a Veterans Honors today. Phil?
Good morning. First off, I'd like to start off by letting you know what's going on at our office. First part of next month, we're going to be involved with the reburial of a service member from Gage County who was killed during World War II. Not going to give the names out yet until the family, I talk to the family some more, but there was a soldier that was killed in World War II, was buried in Belgium, brought back to the United States in 1948 and buried in Philly. And through some research that somebody was doing, they found out that the body may have been switched with another infantry soldier from the 2nd Infantry Division. And they came back, and this has been going on for a couple of years. They've been getting some DNA samples from some locals and exhumed the body and found out that, yes, the body that was in Philly belonged in Idaho, and the one still in Belgium should be in Philly. So first part of next month, and there's going to be some information coming out about this, but hope to see some officials there for the reburial of this World War II soldier that they're bringing back to Gage County. So I believe it's going to be the 9th of August is when that's going to take place. So that's something very interesting. And, of course, the new Pickerel Veterans Memorial went up there for the dedication of that last month. And then during our last Memorial Day, we were talking to about the trailer for the flagpoles that we have. And it's it's needing repairs and things. And a couple veterans, Kevin Peterson, Tim Fralin, said, well, let's get something done with it, and they contacted Flip Bidding, and Flip is the one who built our last two trailers. Next thing I knew, he said, come over, get approval, check this out, and they had built a new trailer for us, so that's parked in the parking lot over there. We're just going to move the poles from the other one to the new one. We need to put some tires on it and stuff, but they volunteered and donated and everything for that, so we have a new trailer there. So,
wow.
And then we'll get down to the meat of the program here. It's my pleasure to introduce Irvin Mainz. Irvin was inducted into the United States Army on May 12, 1952. And he served until May 6th of 1954. Again, he was a corporal in the United States Army, and he received the following medals: the Korean Service Medal with 1 Bronze Service Star, National Defense Service Medal, United Nations Service Medal, Good Conduct Medal, and it shows that he served for a total of foreign service of 1 year, 5 months, and 24 days, and he was assigned to Company A, 19th Infantry Regiment, in Korea. At this time, I'd like to introduce Irvin Mainz.
I was drafted May 12, 1952. I took my basic training at Camp Roberts, California. After basic training, I was sent to Japan, where I was assigned to the 24th Infantry Division. Went to northern Japan for ski training. Then to Koji Island, which is South of Korea, to guard prisoners. From there, was sent to Korea, where we replaced the 1st Cavalry Division. Left from Incheon, Korea, to go back to the States. After 16 months of overseas duty, was discharged May 6, 1954 at Camp Carson, Colorado. It was a good experience, but it was good to get back home. I want to thank the Board of Supervisors for selecting me Veteran of the Month. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Irvin. And Terry has a little something from you that from the board.
Urban, on behalf of the county, I'd like to present you these all tokens of our appreciation. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet, Phil. Come on back up. Yep.
Got one more thing. Just wanted to note that I received a call yesterday from Senator Fisher's office, and she's going to be in town on August 8th awarding some medals to the family member of a World War II veteran who never received them. So, again, more information will be put out about that as we receive it. So,
yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Urban. Thank you for your service and your time. Everybody in the county really appreciates that we have such an amazing group of veterans and the service they put in. Thank you. Back to committee meetings. Human resource, employees relation. Nothing. Law enforcement, emergency management.
Law enforcement side. So now we are going to be up to date?
Yes. Okay. Retro is all completely done.
Okay, so we're up to date finally. And like Don said, hopefully we were able to get negotiations done before the contract expires and we don't end up having to do that again. We have discussed maybe starting them negotiations now, being as we only have 2 years left. I mean, a three-year contract, we're down to 2 years already.
Yeah.
So I think that's something we need to at least have discussions all the way through.
And for the record, this is with the Sheriff's Department.
And Sheriff's Department Corrections, correct.
Right.
Yes, correct.
I want to make sure it's part of the record.
Would you like to get Sam involved right away?
Gus brought up on Monday that we're at a crunch for space at the jail. So nothing we can really do about it at this point. We just so everybody knows, we are running out of hotel space over there. So
I'll give you an update on the call.
Yep.
With jail standards.
That would be good.
Okay. As Gary was saying, a reported committee Monday, we're kind of getting down to where I don't have a lot of space left. I talked to jail standards yesterday quite a bit, and because we're listed as minimum standards, it means that we're old facility. I don't have to meet all the high standards they have nowadays with the new facilities. They'll cut me a little breathing room, and if I get up to that 50 number where we seem to be quite a bit anymore, he'll let me put mattresses or cots on the day room floors in the main general population areas for a very brief period of time to see if that will help us maybe the next day get a couple shipped out somewhere. So I already have an order, some mattresses will have built-in pillows in it to just throw on the floor and see if we can get by that way. But he cautioned me, he said, for a very short period of time. But we'll see if that helps a little bit of the crunch. So,
well, and we're part of the discussion, explain that a little bit. Part of the discussion was over the weekend. You were maxed out and everybody was transporting and too many came in at once. And
well, what we do right now is we transport during the day and we also have one now at night transports.
Yeah.
Most of those transports will go for us at night down to Washington. It's helped us some, but as Roger can tell you, the dock and the court's just not slowing down much, and so we're getting a lot of the business and fresh arrests. I came back last week from 3 days, three states getting a load full of prisoners, and we're almost 50 when I come back Friday afternoon. So it was just the timing, but it just seems we're getting that 50 and the high 40s more and more. And it does put a little bit of a crunch on us and running the staff a little ragged, because if we go to our Lexington and they do one trip a week for us, but sometimes that's probably not going to be the case now. We're going to have to fill in on some of those even maybe if we have to. So that takes one person out of the office and whole day's shot. So, but we do what you got to do. It gives me a little more hope that I can put some matches on the floor for a while and get us by and just continue on, I guess. So,
any update on the couple of cells with the lighting issues?
I talked to him yesterday. I told him this is going to be an emergency. He said he's reporting to somebody higher up than him, and I haven't heard back. I'm going to call back again this morning and get on his case with radon. Otherwise, I'm going to start looking around elsewhere. But I don't want to rush and put one in there that's going to get broke out right away like these last ones were, because we're just getting so old and brittle and are just not the kind we need, they said. So I'm pushing on it hard. About all I can do. So if not, you got some remote home, don't you?
Yeah, but we can't do that because he'll put them in hard labor.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's right.
What about that?
Gary, how long do you want to wait on that with the... I mean, this has been months, and there's three cells open. Do we want to call somebody else?
I'm going to call somebody else today if I don't get a better response. And I know it's not his fault locally. He just got somebody else he's going to. So I might call that place in Grand Island, and that was the first one, get their bid in the first place and see if they can expedite.
There's got to be somebody that can install a light.
We can't leave the three cells open.
I think, too, we're to that point where, with our numbers, we're to that point where it's almost an emergency that you get that fixed. So,
remind me, was that a bid item, Gus?
No, well, I was looking to get that. Initially, we're looking at lighting the facility, replacing the halls. But then, and then when I saw the cost was, Dave and I talked, and we're just going to do the ones we needed fixed. And they were just going to get us a price on just those two or three that we needed. And that's what I'm still waiting on.
Okay. Anything else?
Lisa just mentioned that all the sirens were operational on Monday also. So it's good to know that A, somebody's paying attention to them, and B, that they are all operational.
She did mention a little bit more that I think, and we've had a lot of discussion as a board, law enforcement, emergency management, and Lisa's always given us a zoning report in that. We might even add zoning on there or whatever, because she did say, I believe it's on August 14th, they're having their public hearing on the Hannah Keelan and the proposals that are coming forward. That's when their public hearing is scheduled for, and the advertisement for that will go out. There's two parts to it. One's the reassessing or redoing some of our zoning, and the other is a comprehensive plan. I think she's talked to Roger's office, and the zoning board will be allowed to have the public hearing at the same time for both of those. However, because of the way things are, the county board may have to have two public hearings, one for the zoning regulations and one for the comprehensive plan. But those will be after the zoning board has their public hearing and after they forward their recommendation onto the board.
Right.
So, but that, been waiting for that. That's put a lot of time, effort, and work into it, but that right now they're scheduled for August 14th.
Okay. Okay. I'm thinking once we get that public hearing done, we'll take a look at it too, and so we can get kind of a summary. Before it comes up here, so you guys, I mean, that's a lot of material.
And Lisa mentioned that they're waiting for the proposed amendments to come back from Hannah Keelan. Once that comes back, that will be, she's visiting with Dawn, and that'll be put up on the website and everything, so people can have an opportunity to look at that. So that we're not sure when that'll be, but I know she's pursuing them to get that done. So we will try to keep people abreast to when that gets up on the website so people can look at that. And it'll be up on our county website. So.
As soon as it can get here.
Yep. Next up, Road and Bridge.
Galen presented us with specs and called for bids on six culvert projects. Bids will be opened August 15th. The Odell North Box Culvert. Of course, it rained again, but last Friday the floor was poured and completed, so that's a good thing. Adam Northwest Project last Thursday backfilled the east abutment on it, so the next step, Galen said, would be deck. Moving on with that. Funds in the highway buyback program are $378,000. Funds in the highway bridge program, $449,000. This is located in the road and bridge sinking funds. Galen has got permits from the city to have those with the house that was purchased by the road department building to get started as far as demolition on it, but a few permits have to be done first before we can do that. And Eric, did you get to visit with the city?
They're going to talk about it, look at possible utilities that they could provide or not provide, and I asked to get on their agenda, and they said that would be a step ahead of time, so they're basically doing an assessment. Okay. But I think there might be some motion this time.
There, and what we're referring to is two locations in town that are county roads, 19th and Dorsey, to Sargent, and part of West Belvedere. They tie right into city roads and everything, and there's been some complaints on the roads, I think dust mostly, traffic control, and the people that live on these roads would, well, for sure one, would like to see the city take over this stretch of road, and it would be a smart thing because it's right in the city, and it would alleviate some of our having to go back and just do a little stretch of road in that area. So.
And the last line of the notes, it should say instead of Rockford Road, the Holmesville Road to the Rock Quarry.
Oh.
We discussed the Rockford Road earlier, but that part of it was really in regards to the Holmesville Road.
No, that should be a correction on that. Those were the notes of the road, yeah. Then I think Terry mentioned those $2 amounts, those two sums amounted to about $800,000 to $850,000. And those are the programs the state has now instead of federal aid bridges or whatever like we've had. They're allocating money back there. Those are both, right now, they're both located in the Road and Bridge Sinking Fund, which our Road and Bridge Sinking Fund has $1,207,000. And the reason we're mentioning that is because those, that amount of money, that $800,000 or $850,000, that has restrictions on it as far as what we can use that for. That has to be bridges or each of those two programs has restrictions on those, what we can use those for.
Yep.
Anything else for Road and Bridge? If not, we will move on to our agenda. Sherry Miller from Blue Valley Community Action to present the 2017 annual report.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm a new face to all of you, probably. Yeah, you're used to seeing Richard Nation, and he retired the end of June, so after 41 years of service. So I am the new CEO for Blue Valley Community Action. I've been with the agency for 24 years. Prior to my position as deputy director, I was the Head Start or the Children's Services Director for the last 12 years. So I know a little bit about Blue Valley, and I'm continuing to learn. So also with me today is Heather Lytle, who is our administrative director, and she gathered all of the information that's in our annual report. So if I'm not able to answer something, she may be able to help me out, or I will get an answer for you. Pages 1 and 2 talk about our makeup of our board of directors, and currently John is sitting on our board of directors, and we really appreciate all the input that he gives us and his attendance. As you know, our board is made up of one-third private, one-third public, and one-third consumer. And we really feel like this makeup of our board is very important. It gives us representation from everyone in the community. Our board members during our meetings are able to present to us what the needs are in their communities, what services are coming in, so that we can better plan for what needs that aren't being met in the communities that we serve. We do serve 9 counties in southeast Nebraska. Some of our programs are able to extend beyond those 9 counties. It just kind of depends on the grant and the stipulations of the grant. Blue Valley's mission is overcoming poverty by helping people, improving lives, and strengthening communities. And we live this mission on a daily basis. You will see, as you look at our programming, we have very comprehensive services. We have families that may come in looking for, maybe they think their need is food. And after we do conversations with them and interview them, we find out that they have multiple needs that we are able to help them with. It may be weatherizing their home, it may be putting their child into an early childhood education program. So we are we do serve clients with comprehensive services. We work alongside of our clients to try to help them become successful. We don't just give them handouts. We do case management with them and work with them on a regular basis to try to build on their strengths so that they can thrive in their communities. Pages 3 and 4 is a listing of our client demographics. And one of the misconceptions that we face regularly is that a lot of people think of Blue Valley as just giving a handout to the clients. And again, like I said, we work alongside them. They think that our clients often are lazy or uneducated, and that truly is not the case. If you look at the demographics here, many of our clients are working either part-time or full-time. And so they're just having struggles making ends meet. We have two-parent families where one they're both working, and maybe a parent becomes injured and unable to work, and that second income not coming in can make a difference for them. Or we have the clients that have maybe are diagnosed with cancer, and that turn in their life can really make a difference, those high medical costs. It is a misconception that they're not working. If you see, there's 53.7% of our clients that we work with are employed, either part-time, full-time, or self-employed. And another statistic is 43.4% are retired. We're seeing a lot of individuals who are retired, and, you know, with the high prescriptions that they have, those medical costs, they're not able to make it either. So, that, again, is that misconception that people are not doing their part. The age of our clients, you'll see we have 41% that are ages 0 to 17. We do have a large number of children that are in our early childhood programs. Also, our WIC and immunization programs, we serve a lot of children, so we have a high percentage there that, again, fall in that poverty level. You'll also note that only 14% have less than a high school degree. So, again, back to that education piece. Most of our clients have made it through high school and gone beyond. They've got college degrees. We've got some clients that have master's degrees. So, you know, people are, they are educated. They're just struggling. Pages 5 through 18 are all the different programs that we have, and I won't go over each one of those with you. Throughout those pages, you will see a brief description of what the programs are that we cover. It also indicates which counties that we're in. And again, like I said, some of our grants do not allow us to have certain programs in certain counties. It just, they look at the need for that service and the demographics of that area. I next year would like to work to bring you more a handout specific to what we do in Gage County. I did pull some data so I could share that with you. I know it's interesting to me the large number of clients that we serve, but I think I would like to really work to bring you more specific information for Gage County. Last year, we served 145 clients with rental assistance. That was out of 293 throughout our service agency, so that was about 49% of those were clients in Gage County. We served 275 clients in Gage County with utility assistance, and that's about 32% of our clients. We sheltered 69 out of 99 in our area, which was about 70%. So we do have a large portion of our funding and our time is going towards the clients here in Gage County. Our food security program, as Blue Valley as a whole, served 2,080 individuals. 108 of those were from Gage County. Our commodity supplemental food program, which is a program for individuals 60 years or older, they do food packages for them. Blue Valley as a whole served 1,069 individuals, and 261 of them were from Gage County, which was about 24%. We also have a large number of housing, either rental assistance. We have housing for elderly. In Gage County, we have 24 one-bedroom apartments. In Beatrice, 16 two- and three-bedroom apartments and 17 single-family homes. We also have a fourplex in Odell and an eight-apartment units in Wymore. We usually keep a fairly good wait list on there so that once those apartments or housing units become vacant, we're able to fill them. We do struggle a little bit in Wymore to keep those filled. That's kind of our challenging area. And we also have our early childhood programs. Blue Valley partners with Beatrice Public Schools to integrate our children in the same classrooms. We combine our resources so that we're able to serve more children. Last year in Gage County, 82 children were served through Head Start funding. I think as a total, we probably served over 150 children combining with the school. So that's about 30% of our overall enrollment. We served two prenatal moms and 27 children ages 0 to 3 in our early Head Start program. We have a program where we go in and do home visits with the families for children ages 0 to 3. We also have our Friends of Blue Valley, which is our volunteer program. And without our volunteer programs, Blue Valley would not be able to provide all the services that we do. Last year, we had 663 individuals volunteer for either in a classroom, at our clothing centers, at events that we have. They totaled 43,826 hours of donated time. That's about equivalent to 22 staff. So that's a pretty amazing number of hours being donated to us for a good cause. We also have the foster grandparent program, and it's officed here in Beatrice. We are always looking for people to be a part of our foster grandparent program. The stipulation is that they're 55 years or older, and they get to go in either to the school setting or a preschool setting and do one-on-one work with children that maybe are having struggles at home or are struggling in the classroom. So it's a really great program. If you know of anybody, please send them to us. We are looking for volunteers for that program. Pages 19 and 20, statistics about our staff. Blue Valley is growing. In 2012, we had 186 staff. You will see currently we have 208 individuals working for us. You will probably note, sometimes have a higher turnover rate. But we also believe we work with our clients in hopes of in employing them through the agency. Blue Valley is also a stepping stone often for employees. They start with us. We have some of our grants have training dollars specifically set aside that has to be used to train staff, and often we train staff and then they end up transitioning either into the school system or to maybe a better paying job. But I guess the positive is that we're moving them forward too. So we do have some stability. We've got 42 staff in the agency that have worked there for over 20 years. So we do have that stability, but we can sometimes be seen as a stepping stone. In Gage County, we have 28 staff that live in Gage County, and we have 25 that work in Gage County. We have some staff that actually, I think, travel to either Crete or Fairbury, but we have a large portion of our staff do live in Gage County. Pages 21 and 22 cover our financial revenues and expenses. You will see we have quite a list of various funding streams. The two largest streams that we have, we get federal direct funds in about $4.8 million and private revenue in about $3.6 million. Those are our two largest streams. It's very important for us to have unrestricted funds. Some of our grants do not cover the full amount to provide those services, so we are able to use county support and also our CSBG funds to help support those costs that aren't covered by the grants. Some grants require a match. And so we are able to use those unrestricted funds for match. You will see that for every dollar of county support that BVCA is able to leverage $155.79 for support. So it's very important for us to have those dollars. Some of our grants, if you look, you will see we've had our expenditures are higher than our revenues. Some of our grants, this is a point in time. Some grants are reimbursed on a quarterly basis. So we operate a lot of our programs, and then we do a quarterly reimbursement. So that's why that looks that way. Pages 23 and 24 is a listing of all the field offices that we have. if you have someone come in with needs, we would really ask that you send them to our Gage County office. Julie Hibbs would be the person that they would contact. We'll do everything we can to help them and provide services for them. And pages 25 is a listing, an acknowledgement of all the donors that we have had in the past year. Again, those donors are so very important to us because those funds are those unrestricted funds that we can help to either support our grants or use as match towards our grants. Do you have any questions for me?
No, I just want to compliment you. Everything that your staff does is absolutely fantastic, and we should be very pleased and very proud how much you do for all of the counties, but Gage County in particular.
Thank you so much.
Does it seem like we have a high percentage of need in Gage County compared to the other counties? I mean, each of the numbers you're going through, it seems like we have an unusually high percentage.
I think there's a lot of transient families, it seems like, in Gage County. That the need in Gage County does seem relatively high compared to some of our other counties.
What can we do about that?
That's a really good question. I don't know that we have the answer for that. I think a lot of it is working with the clients to try to get that stability. You know, we do work with them. I think more programs, if we could come up with more programming to help people to be able to get a job and then maintain that job. Our case managers do work with that. I know the clientele in Gage County has increased significantly over the last couple of years. So,
but you think that's transient population?
I do think a lot of it is. I know at least with our housing units, we have a lot of families that are moving in and out. Yeah.
Well, if you come up with a solution,
I'll work on that. Yes.
Thank you for the Gage County.
Yes, and I will. Yeah. Next year, I'd really like to bring some graphs and all of that, but I just stepped into this role. So, it's nice to see the overall what we do, but I'd really like to bring more information to you specific to your county.
And the one that was the highest by quite a ways was the shelter assistant at 70%. And is that due to that transient nature of some of those?
Yes. Or yes.
Not other family members there to.
Mm-hmm. Or they've been maybe kicked out of the home, and yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we need a motion to put the Blue Valley Community Action Report on file?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Byers. Vote. Yep. Team in net. There you go. 6-0 in favor. Next up, Walker, for the Engage Quarterly Report.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, Q2 seems like a long time ago since we kind of postponed this report, but I'll get you caught up on Q2. We've had some good things going so far this quarter. Three, number one, you refunded us for 3 years, so that's kind of a exciting thing for what we're doing, to know that we can continue for another 3 years. But it's funny, we look, you know, there's some days in the office where we feel like we're a little bit slow and we're like, what are we doing? And then I go back and make this report and I forget like how crazy it kind of is. So if you just look at our travel, we're all over. Erin was in Hastings, Erin was in Lincoln. She was at this Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities conference in Hastings, Nebraska, and met some great folks, made some really good connections. We actually had some of those come down, and it's really kind of been a blossoming connection. And so just from her being at that conference, one, we ended up submitting on that conference, so we landed hosting that conference next year. Erin and Michael wrote a really nice application, and so we'll have an entrepreneurial conference here next year, so it'll be its third annual. It's a big thing to show off of our community, all the things we're doing, and we're an entrepreneurial community. One of our largest employers was all because somebody went out and started a business in their garage, and so I think that the committee liked that, and it's exciting to show off all of our success. But then also one of the other connections that we made in that Entrepreneurs Conference was some folks from UNL, and they were really interested in what we're doing, and they're actually going to try to make some of their classes coming in the fall, some architecture classes and some community architecture classes, are going to send their kids. Their case study is going to be Beatrice and our downtown and our riverfront, and I don't know, it's kind of free work for us that we're going to get a bunch of students to come down and do a bunch of planning for us. What else? I was in Texas for a consultant event. We were at NEDA, our association, out in Gothenburg, our state association. And then Phil Michael, who I used to work with at DED, works for us some part-time consulting where he goes to some of the trade shows that he's had really deep relationships with. And so he travels to those shows for us, too. And so he was at the Farm Equipment Manufacturer Show in Omaha, repping Gage County. What else? We have two interns this summer. They're both writing some interesting reports for us. We try to keep them busy as much as we can, but when they have downtime, I actually put them to school early, so they're writing some detailed reports and papers for us. But we have some of the brightest students that are just graduating from high school that are going to, one's going to stay here and go to school for a couple of years, or at least a semester, and then probably transfer, and one's going to Lincoln. And we said, are we on your radar to come back? And it was kind of a yes and kind of a no. And we said, okay, well, how about this? I want you to spend the summer writing about what it's going to take to recruit you back once you are graduated from school, because we don't really know what they're looking for. And so we feel like if we can get their take on what it's like now as they're leaving, you know, we can continue to ask these students, and then we'll try to do the things and put them in place so that when they're looking at taking a job, they're going to want to come home. So... we hosted a nice little lunch and learn with DOL out at the SEC campus for all of our local employers. Just everyone's struggling with this workforce thing, and so how do we write better job descriptions? What are some programs that we can be using to train individuals? It was one of our better attended lunch and learns, and so we co-hosted it with the Department of Labor, and it was a nice turnout. We also had Digital Sky back down again. We shot some more aerials of some of our industrial sites. So we've been pitching. We've had a lot of project activity, and we've been pitching our sites, but we just needed better aerials, updated stuff. And so Digital Sky is running around the county and shooting some aerials for us so we can have a little bit better proposals. If there's anything else on, I'm just kind of skipped to the last page and I can't give my highlights. If there's anything that anybody has questions about, let me know, but I'm just going to kind of go to the end and say a couple of the things that we're pretty excited about right now. So you probably saw in the paper and in the news lately that, we set out this year to build a hotel. We did a study last year. It cost us some money to figure out if we needed one. And officially, within the last week, we're going to build a hotel. So we landed a developer. We're already going through the TIF process. I think we're through stage two of five steps, and then they hopefully can start in the fall. And if stars align, we're hoping that we can get this thing up by, like, maybe May of next year. The hotel world is kind of interesting. If he's not up by May, then it's probably not going to open right away because they kind of eat it through the fall or through the fall and the winter. So if they can get up by summer and capitalize on all those events, then they're going to try to do it. So that's what we're pushing up against right now. So anything you guys can do to push along construction timelines, that would be helpful for them. Also, we had another article that came out last week, too. It's something we've been working on for quite a while, but... if you noticed, Precise Fabrication is transitioning to some new ownership, and that was an interesting partnership that came about because we were working with that other company for a while, and you know we were trying to get them to be here too because they're a big manufacturer, I guess a big supplier for some of our local industry, and so we were working on that company, and this partnership kind of blossomed, and it ended up being this really nice business transition that kept some employees here. We're going to see some new investment and see both of those companies being really good at what they do coming together, and then you'll see some expansion from them. And then something else that it's, you guys, I haven't told anybody about this yet either, but we've been pushing for industrial space for as long as I've been down here. It seems like we always have companies calling and saying, I need space or I need X amount, and we've tried to build spec buildings, and we've tried to we've worked with a lot of different folks and said, can you build us something? And actually, we have another one coming online here. Contract is in place, steel is ordered, and so we're going to have another 24,000 square foot building coming probably in the next month or so. It'll start construction. So totally on spec. It's an outside investor that has some other interest here in town. And so it'll be out in the industrial park on Centennial Drive. So more buildings on the tax roll is, I guess, what we're going for, and hopefully it'll bring some more jobs to town. I don't know. Any other questions? I could go on forever. There's a lot of good things happening.
I see an investors you have down there now that you have 50 member investors.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's quite an accomplishment from where we started and the way it started out, and I wondered if we'd ever have any investors, I guess, and now... I don't know how you classify them or whatever or what level they are, but I think that's pretty amazing to have 50 member investors. I'll just compliment you on that.
Thank you. And truly, we couldn't do what we do without your funding and then what our investors give us, because I've said it before, we don't want to spend tax dollars on everything, and we can't. So them taking a leap of faith and investing us is helpful. So
I think that's huge, though. I think that shows what the county and the community what faith or what commitment they're making to.
I agree. I guess something else that was pretty cool last in second quarter was we broke ground on SCC broke ground on two new buildings, which I think is huge for our county. If they're investing here, you know, they. With a facility that needs updating, you know, they could make those investments anywhere they want, and they see the need to do it here, and I think that's good for us to just take note of that. You know, they're going to continue to invest here, continue to grow, which is going to bring more students here, and hopefully we can keep them. And I just had a meeting with someone else from SCC yesterday, and just thinking of, you know, what are the other programs we should be looking at, what's the needs from our employers, and how can we do that even it's on a temporary basis or on a permanent basis or a, you know, like this cyclical, you know, cycle or something where we're having programs that alternate. So you know, they're continuing to bring on more space, and it's how do we best utilize it and help recruit students, but then also help our local industry get the training they need.
I agree. I think what SCC does for this community is absolutely huge. It's huge, and I don't think we say thank you often enough for everything that they do for this community, and it's tremendous, just tremendous.
We're fortunate to have a facility like that in our town. All right.
Any other questions or comments for Walker?
Anything else you want to see? I mean, you guys said, people said they needed a hotel, and we did that, so I guess if there's something else, you said we wanted housing, and we did that too, so... What's the next study we should do? Yeah, what else can we chase?
Very good job.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Do we need to put this report on file, too?
Yep.
Entertain a motion to put Engage report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Byers. Vote 6-0 in favor. Discussion on 2018-2019 county budget.
Not letting me do a thing. I just need to come in from everybody. We're missing.
Well, I just got it yesterday.
One?
The last ones were in yesterday.
Last
one's in. Got everybody. And what that is what they're kind of requesting or their proposal for this coming year.
Do we have any big decreases? Am I buying pizza?
Not yet. I can't tell you that yet because I haven't got that point yet.
We'll be looking at those here, I suppose, over the next couple weeks and next few weeks.
As I get everything entered, yeah.
And then if you guys have any initial direction, please let us know. Talk to Myron some. I really haven't talked to John a little bit, but if you guys do have any ideas or directions you want Don and I to look, please call us.
I'll let you know as soon as we can start with our...
And our budget needs to be. I do have a comment on it. I visited with several fire departments, or several fire departments, I guess, have visited with me. Part of what happened 2 years ago when there was a bill before the legislature came through whereby if we would cut their funding to no levy, they could the next year go up to 10. Well, part of that was included in there was. Now, all fire departments have to have their budgets done and in by August 1st.
As well as their preliminary.
Yes. Which, for some of them, that was a change. And last year, it didn't quite happen that way. At least that's the way they visited me. They weren't maybe aware of it or it didn't happen. But now the auditors are aware of it.
We've been getting a lot of calls.
And they've been visiting with me, too, also. That was part of that bill that came about. And that's earlier than they would have to be. Otherwise, they would fall under basically our county's time schedule, which would put it September 20th, where we have to have everything done and approved by.
What if they don't have it in by the 1st?
I'll make this comment. One of them there, and they work with an accounting firm here in Beatrice, and they plan on having it all in and done, but they also are putting it in with this thought in mind that they may need to make adjustments to that between that time period and our September 20th. Yeah. They may have to make some amendments. Because some of those, basically what they've told me is some of those you can't really do yet by that amount of time, but they will have it done and in because that's a state requirement now. So.
And Odell Fire Department's having a meeting the 30th of July.
Yeah, they're scrambling for their...
So, they're scrambling, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff, yep.
And stuff. So they're working on it, but it's a change that came about that it wasn't nothing we did, but they're all working on that and trying to...
I don't think they were aware of that.
They weren't aware of it until...
And that's
later.
Exactly the reasoning I was told because of that bill 2 years ago.
Because of that bill, yeah. It was included in that bill, and like I said, last year, I think that bill was in effect last year already, and it just, maybe it through the whole process, something didn't get coordinated or whatever. Mm-hmm. This year, though, they've been told that, yes, that will need to be done. And some of them, quite frankly, have said that because of the way they've done it in the past years, it's just a whole different perspective looking at it this year and having it done sooner than they had other years. So, but they will get it done, and then, like I said, was saying they great likelihood that someone will have amendments or change it, have some changes before it's finalized because they do go in underneath our budget to the state, their 3 cents of levy.
As long as you guys have to set by September 1 what you're going to give, unless you're going to change something, it'll be 3 cents again, and same thing with townships. That's why their preliminary has to be in by August 1, so you can make a decision so they know by September 1 what to budget for.
And then the other thing, I'll just make a comment, and everybody knows that yesterday we got the results back that the Eighth Circuit is not going to entertain a full appeal. And part of that process is, and we've had some discussions as a board in closed sessions with some of our attorneys, and part of that discussion now, knowing where we're at today, part of that will be included in our budget process as we go through this year because we know where we are at basically now. So we've had that as a board. We've had some discussion. We've had some discussion with our attorneys. They will be down again today, all three groups of attorneys, and we'll have more discussion with that also. That decision will have an effect on our budget this year. We will be communicating a lot about how that will affect our current budget, our current proposed budget. So we have until September 20th to get that approved. So and have the public hearing and everything. So we'll see where all those discussions go. But in previous years, we've always had appeals, and we did not include that as part of the budget. But this year, that will be definitely part of the discussion in the budget. And I know I visited with some of our attorney groups in the last few days or the end of last week, and visited with some of them about maybe some of the consequences of what that all brings about too and stuff. So we will, in our closed session, we will have some of those discussions. But like I said, when as we come down to more crunch time with our budget and we get more into finalizing our budget, that will be part of the discussion this year because we have a better idea of where the county sits. And I'm glad Eric is chairman of the Finance Committee this year, that he volunteered to do that so that we can put this all on his shoulders. So, no, and stuff. So, no, it's... it will be part of it. Anything else for, I guess, budget discussion or whatever?
When would we need to tell rural fires, townships, if there is going to be a change, because but we don't tell them prior to that, because that's when we actually would actually submit or have our finalized budget, right?
Our budget has to be in by September 20th, but the statutes say September 1. Now, if you guys vote no now, obviously they would probably appreciate knowing ahead of time.
Because the rural fires will be basing their budget on the 3 cent asking.
Doesn't have to be, though.
No, it doesn't have to be. But I mean, that's what they'll be basing their initial budget on.
I've had some discussion with some of them, too. So,
but if that would change, I mean, or if there's inklings of that changing, the sooner we do know, the better, I would think. I just don't want to.
Well, that would affect all of their budgets if something was changed other than the 3 cents. Because as they sit here today, they are all planning on that 3 cents and then the MFO money that comes with that.
And that might be something also, because the MFO would all have to be.
You know, we're sitting here. Changed. We're sitting here July 18th. We don't have another meeting before August 1st.
But Myron, if I'm correct, I think that MFO money you're talking about has went this way also, though.
Yes, it has.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've talked to some of them. And
so it's not a big thing as what it used to be.
I've gotten some specific numbers of what I know what Adams is getting now.
Yeah.
And there is not the incentive that there was.
Yes.
When they started doing this, I don't know how many years ago it was, then our mill levy, not our mill levy, our valuation was a lot lower. And what that mill levy brought in, then the MFO money had a lot greater impact on their total budget. And today, at least I know what, like I said, I visited with Adams, and I know what the amount they get is. And on their budget, it's a lot smaller amount than it was when that had a lot greater effect.
If I remember correctly, what I was told is this MFO thing started during the Breslow when he was the auditor. At that time, there was a large insurance fund setting up there at the State Department. It was a percentage that the fire district sent in or something, and it would lower your insurance somehow. It depended on how active the fire district was. That money was just setting up there. So that was the idea of it, improve your fire district. With the 3 cents, everybody's on the same page, and that money would come back out. You know, and it would lower your insurance cost because you had a lot better upgraded fire department.
Yes.
Basically, that's what I know.
Well, and I know Adams up there, the fire chief up there, I visited with him about this was a year or two ago. They have to have so many people that have had so much training and all of this, and they're evaluated every so often. And the insurance rates in that fire district are based a little bit, they have some bearing is on that by the amount or the quality of the fire department you have.
Yep.
So it's there's incentives there, both ways. I mean, there's incentives as far as getting more funding back, but also the better department you have, they know there's less insurance costs, so the insurance companies, you know, are helping with part of that. So
absolutely.
Correctly, the MFO doesn't have to be at 3 cents. I mean,
no.
They could all agree to be 1 cent. Yeah.
But they all have to agree, if
they
I remember it. They have to be the same in that group.
But when they did it and set the 3 cents, then it was, I mean, there was reasons, valid reasons why they did the way they came about
I understand.
With that. Yeah.
I don't think they have to agree. They just have to be the same.
They have to be
right.
The same.
Right.
Okay. And I'm sure next meeting we'll have more discussions on the budget, and as we go forward, we will. Because we're looking. We usually look at the first meeting. Well, I shouldn't say the first meeting.
We'll have to probably look at.
Well, it would have to be approved on the September the 12th.
So whether we have our public hearing,
we'll have a public hearing probably on the 29th of August.
If it works out that way, otherwise, we'll have to do them both at the same.
Both the same day.
We've done that before where
we had them both.
And as we all know, we could have a tremendous effect on what happens with our budget and what we do as far as our budget's concerned as we talk about litigation and where we go forward from here.
Yep. Anything else on the budget? Anything else for the meeting today?
I'm going to have one more thing I probably should update you on. We talked about before.
Is this expensive?
No. Well, depends. Purple Wave got back to me yesterday on if they thought they could bundle up some items left over there, the pumps and equipment and the awning. After you talked to everybody, they thought that probably would not be, we couldn't get anything on it. So
That's what the report back was.
Well, and I don't know whether this two small awnings mean, is that the awning over top of the fuel tanks, or do you think? I don't know either.
Does it have a name on it?
Nope. No name, no anything. It just says bids for two small awnings here. And it's sealed.
I had asked Dave to get prices, additional prices for those two small awnings to be removed because they weren't included in the initial bid. I really wonder if those are, if that's a bid. It's an extension of the other bid, basically, but additional dollars to take those off.
I'll let Don's office to keep that. So.
Thank you. He's going to run in here, and he'll discuss what took place with that. I just thought I'd bring it in since you're all here, and you can decide what you want to do.
I think there was no leaks in the tanks.
Sorry. The purple wave.
I didn't hear anything.
No, nobody heard anything. That there was leaks or whatever. I don't know. I'm going to go take a break and go to the restroom real quick. Until Dave gets here.
So are we going on break or?
But you wanna?
Yeah, we'll go on a 5-minute break. Till
recess.
Dave gets here.
Recess.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Okay, we're on.
We 10:02 on the clock. We'll come back from a little short recess there, and we have Dave has come in and talk a little bit about this letter we received.
Yes. We had an inquiry on the awning that was on the west side of the bus stop. When Bissiger did his brickwork, he removed that awning, and someone expressed interest in that, and I told him to put a bid in on it.
So it's the one that's removed already, or?
Yes, it is not the big overhead awning. It's the one that was attached to the building on the west side.
Can we give them the one that's taken off if they'll take the other one as well?
We have a bid for it, right?
For the small awning, yes.
For the small one that's left, you mean now?
You can declare a surplus, and it's three.
They're all included together?
Three.
Did you say three or three?
It's not the best first pick or whatever Denny does. It's three.
Yeah, if it's under $500, we've already given Dave authority.
We have that already as a motion.
We've had that
declared as surplus.
Anything that's under $500, he has authority to dispose of or take
Bitcoins
or whatever. So I don't know if that counts.
I didn't know if you declared that one to be a surplus.
That one we did when we wanted to call for bids, awnings. I stated awnings, so you decipher that. I'm just telling you what we've done so far. So you go from there.
We do as a board. We have approved the fact that we have. Well, the question is, do we want to open this and let them have it? So then
I would say no. I mean, that's like somebody. Well, somebody came in and I'll give you so much for Don's chair.
The only reason I would look at it is because we put that out for bid once and never got no bids.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, it looks like that was closed at that time. Now, all of a sudden, this comes. I mean, that's my opinion.
So then what you're saying is we basically need to put it back out for bids, but then, Eric, do those two little side ones, are they going to be taken off?
Nobody's going to want those. Those will come off in pieces.
Right. That is a different type. This was covered in canvas.
Right.
Those are a hard.
But this one's off. Where is it at then? He's storing it?
No, it's located. It is located behind the bus stop at this.
Oh, it's still behind the bus stop. So, but what I'm, what my comment will be is that I don't see any way that they bid $500 for that.
Do you have any idea?
No.
Now, I could be wrong, but I don't see.
Terry, you're thinking we ought to open up for bids. They'll say, hey,
I don't know. I just think it's kind of improper. Somebody wants to
think it's improper
throw
too,
it in there.
I agree.
Yeah. You open up the bid. Okay.
Don't
we're
going to
sell it
nice
or not. How are you going to make that decision?
So then how to?
Just advertise it again.
Advertise it again.
Yeah.
Tell them
in two weeks you're going to open the bid.
Yep.
We got a bid. We'll open it up.
We'll put an agenda item in 2 weeks.
Probably won't cover the cost of publication.
How about we just have Davey dispose of this thing? Because we're going to spend more on advertising than we're going to get money.
Then what are we going to get for it?
They already put it behind there.
What are you going to do with it over there now? Basically take it away for junk?
It would be something usable. Maybe not for the county, but it's in very good shape.
Well,
I guess I would hate to see it just be destroyed.
Yeah.
Or maybe we could put our own price on it.
Well, no, let's just put it out for bids. We can keep his bid, and in 2 weeks we'll open it.
Then we have to advertise it again, though.
And you only need to advertise it on our county website.
But if we just declare it a surplus at the next meeting and Dave has the authority to...
You got it in your minutes. We've advertised it once.
And we got no bids.
We got no bids.
And you talked about putting it on Purple Wave. Purple Wave does not want it. So it's either junk or you do sell it as surplus.
They're not going to make any money on it, so they don't want it, so... Just do that. Just put it in your minutes, and next time put it on the agenda that you're taking.
Put it on the agenda. Declare a surplus, and then.
Well, you already done that. Property of the awning. Make sure you describe
awning,
because so some of them don't think it's that big one over there.
With those other items, like Gary said, those pumps. Somebody will want those. Could we have Purple Wave didn't want them? Can I have Dave talk to another auction house that'll probably take those bundle, that overhead awning, the pumps.
You can get somebody to take it, great.
What else do we have over there? The pumps, the big awning.
Signage.
The
large sign, yeah.
Is that it, those three?
Those three items, yeah.
Talk to anybody, even if you got somebody or Dave.
There's another one that I bet will take them. If not, I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Nope, go ahead and do that, too.
If we get it taken down, it's worth something.
Anything else for the meeting today? Otherwise, we'll keep this in the clerk's office. Their bid's still here. We'll declare it next time a surplus, and we're advertised for bids, and we're going to open them next meeting.
Here's what I'm putting down as surplus property of the awnings that are and were attached to the bus stop building and authorizing Dave Jones to sell the surplus. Is that... sound right? What we'll do next time? Does that sound okay?
Yeah. Yep. Highest bid gets it.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So that way, if somebody else wants it, I can submit to. Okay. Anything else for the agenda? If not, we're entertain a motion to go into closed session at 10:08 on the clock, necessary for protection of the public interest or for protection of a needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Motion by Byer, second by Hill. Vote. 6-0 in favor, and right now I don't see anything coming out of this, but you guys sure can call, or we'll call you if something does come out of this.
It's nothing good.
Well, whatever. And I think you guys know who's all down here, our insurance, our bankruptcy, and our other legal counsel. They're all down here. So meeting again about to be after 6. So.
Yep. You got our – okay. All right.
Okay.
We're on.
Entertain a motion at 11:53 on the clock to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Juergens. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Jim,
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to make a recommendation for the county to retain two professionals to help advise the legal staff team that's here. One is Columbia Capital Municipal Advisors. Their president is Dennis Lloyd. The services, I think, will primarily be provided by Mr. Lloyd, and a addition to that would be Adam Pope. Their services would be provided by the hour. Mr. Lloyd's hourly rate is $325 an hour. Mr. Pope's hourly rate is $260 an hour. They have additional staff that may be there as well. I will forward on a engagement letter from them to the county, and should have that tomorrow. My second recommendation was to retain the law firm of Kutak Rock, primarily two attorneys there, one gentleman by the name of Steve Likes and one gentleman by the name of Joel Vanderveen. Mr. Like and Mr. Vanderveen's hourly rate are $300 per hour. They would primarily, in terms of service, the county by providing legal services related to potential bond repayment. And as well, they will have an engagement letter that I'll forward to the clerk to have you for tomorrow.
Entertain somebody to approve that motion that Jim just read.
Make motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Juergens, seconded by Thiemann. Any discussion? If not, vote.
6-0 in favor. Anything else for the good of the order?
I remember when I used to work construction for $1.50 an hour.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Thank you, Jim. And we will see both everybody back in 2 weeks for sure. And if there need be at any time some need for a special session, we will call that too, and then let everybody know who needs to be here. So, if not, we will see everybody be back here at 1 o'clock for our equalization, and we will adjourn the Board of Supervisors meeting. Thank you.